order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Council President Boobin Vanderhaar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is the consent agenda. Is there any questions, comments, or motion to approve?
Sorry, I'm still pulling it up. Yeah, I'm good.
I move we approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
I forgot what I was saying halfway through.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you. Item 5A. And before I forget, item 5B, we're going to not hear that tonight because we didn't have a resolution ready to go with that, so 5B will be coming off the agenda. But so item 5A is the Ada County Sheriff's Office, CUNA Police Department budget discussion. We have Captain Justin Dussault here, so council can ask questions. And Justin, thank you. Good to see you.
Happy to be here. Good evening, members of council, mayor. I'm Justin Dussault, for the record. I am the captain over the Police Services Bureau, and I'm standing here tonight before you rather than John McDaniel because he's on vacation, so I'm going to try my best to handle the questions as accurately and as well as I can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if you can answer this question or not. It's fine if we just get follow-up in the form of additional documentation, but I'm still just wanting more of a breakdown of the line item for vehicles. It's about $144,000, and I was just hoping to get that broken down into, like, are there new vehicles being asked for? How much money is going to old vehicles?
So I can speak to that. I have our budget analyst with us today, too, okay. So that way I can try my best to get these questions answered. For what Chief McDaniel is asking for, each detective, so he has a person's crime detective, a juvenile detective that he's asking for, then there's a SRO component, and that one I'm a little rusty on, but the two detective positions would each require their own car. They can't share a car. So should you grant the two detective positions, that's a request for two cars and the equipment associated and the maintenance and upkeep of the vehicles. So yes, it's two vehicles. I don't know the three, and I think, Mayor, you've had discussions about this CUNA School District.
Yes, I can answer to that one.
I don't know how to speak to that one very
well. So basically what it is, the school district has the funds to pay for all but 4,000, whatever it is, for another student resource officer. I just kind of felt like because of the amount of time that the CUNA Police Department has to spend at the school, that helping them to get that last SRO in there would be very helpful to us. So we were asking that we could provide that extra little bit of funding to.
And the reason I mentioned that is because that would be another vehicle as well, but I think that's going to be covered primarily by the CUNA School District.
Yes.
So, sorry, can you ballpark then how much each of those vehicles would be?
Mine.
I'm not going to hold you down to, like, being exactly, you know, to the cent or anything, but just, like, rough would be fine for tonight.
So I'm Nolan Presnell. I'm a budget analyst with Ada County Sheriff's Office. The total cost of a detective vehicle is $5,357 per year.
And that, so that's a lease and all of that?
$5,357.
Yeah, and I think that's at the very bottom.
I saw it on this.
I think on the first page, right at the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
or close to the bottom.
Oh, yeah, I see that one. But so I guess in the overall consolidated contract city budget summary, it has vehicles, and it's just a hair under 144,000. So I was hoping I could understand that breakdown more.
Okay. I'd have to get back to you on that one. There's a lot of different vehicles in there.
Okay.
So there's the, every year we have the whole police group, the one that we have here currently, and each patrol vehicle lasts 5 years. The unmarked cars last 8 years. So in that vehicle budget, it's that annual cost per vehicle. In addition would be the new cars. So that vehicle, I think that would be the all-encompassing cost for the new cars, the current vehicles in the fleet, which there's five deputies on each team, so there's five patrol cars, maybe even six because you have canines still. There's a sergeant vehicle, so a sergeant vehicle, six deputy vehicles. You currently have two detectives before the ask of the two additional ones. Each of them have vehicles. And so then there would be the additional two vehicles should you grant those positions. And that entire cost at the 5,000, at the rate he just explained, would be your cost there. Now, the patrol vehicles are good. We do those 5 years, providing, you know, there's no catastrophic damage to the vehicle. And the unmarked vehicles, we try to get 8 years out of those at that rate that he just explained.
Okay. At the end of a vehicle's useful life, when you guys need to rotate out of service, do you sell those?
Oftentimes they are traded in
okay. For
a much lower market value. The reason being is there's holes in these vehicles because
yeah. They
have to drill all over them, so that lowers the, and then there's idle time. There's one thing a lot of people don't consider is these vehicles are out and about day in and day out, and they run, so of course you have the miles on the odometer, but then there's idle time as well, which all adds into this depreciated value of the mm-hmm. vehicles. They oftentimes are traded back in, most of the time. Now, SROs will also get some of the vehicles. We will fold them into the SRO fleet if we can, and at times other areas, but many times we try to trade them in at a fair market value, whatever that may be for the vehicle.
So if a patrol car goes out of service in CUNA and then, you know, it's time in the budget to add in a new one, does that trade-in value, is it already applied to whatever the cost is that's in our budget?
That one's a hard one to explain. I don't.
The thing I'm getting at, just so you don't feel like I'm bearing the lead here, is it seems like we pay the fully loaded cost of the cars and the maintenance and everything, but then at the end of their useful life, Ada County gets to keep them. I'm not saying we want a whole fleet of old police cars, like don't get me wrong, but if we've paid for them that entire time, it seems like we should get the benefit of the trade-in value, or if they're sold, you know, whatever proceeds come back to us as a credit. And so that's what I'm concerned about, if we pay for the car for the whole life and then we don't end up owning it at the end.
And I understand that. I understand. And I know we've discussed that in the past. And my first year as captain was the first year we actually, well, we got you a Crown Vic many years ago, and then we gave you the Tahoe that's sitting out there. So I understand
that.
So I can say from my seat I will have some discussions and try and improve that and work out a better plan. I don't know what that looks like, but I do understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and frankly, I would be fine with, like I said, I don't think we want a fleet of retired cars. there's a chance we would maybe want
sure. Something
at some point, and we can maybe make that request on a case-by-case basis. But I think I would probably even be fine with if we could arrive at some sort of like the average value of a car at the end of its useful life, and then whatever you guys do with it is your business, but you know, when a car goes out of service, then we would get, you know, a $2,000 credit or $5,000 credit or whatever if it's a patrol vehicle versus a, you know, whatever other credit if it's an unmarked vehicle, SUV versus, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And if we could just come up with a formula for that, then that would make sense to me, and then we don't have to do the tracking of specific vehicles and stuff like that.
So the original explanation of that, as I recall, was that when we purchase a vehicle, it goes into the Ada County fleet, so that if there is a big problem with one of our rigs, we go to their pool and they swap one out.
We have spares, so no vehicle.
So I think that's where that gets kind of mixed up, is that they go into that fleet, so that's really not ours in the end, but we can certainly talk about that and see what we can come up with differently. But
absolutely.
As I recall, it's because they all go into that fleet and we can draw from that fleet if something happens to one of our rigs. And
that's why I'm wondering if maybe just like a set you know, average amount kind of credit thing would work well, then it's sure. not based on like this vehicle was in really good shape or this vehicle was in really bad shape and anybody having to spend time tracking that kind of stuff. But just then making sure that we feel like we're, you know.
I'm happy to have those discussions. I will do that. I will speak with my command, get John McDaniel involved, and continue to move towards something that, that satisfies that.
Okay.
Big discussion. A lot of cars out there, a lot of contracts yes. out there. And we got to be, you know, fair across the board as well. So we've got to be fair to you and do the right thing. And I truly believe that. So
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Richard.
Chief or Captain. What are the credits that are sporadically through this quote? There's under payroll, there's a credit of $8,333. If you go down, there's a credit on the cost of the vehicle $403.
Right.
What constitutes the credits?
Hold on.
Okay.
So you're saying that was broken down, so that this, the shared service credit is comprised of these. He's asking about these credits here.
Yeah, and that's just to make it so on when we add a position or remove the position, you see the full cost, but then also the cost that we're charging for the position.
Okay.
So, like, if we say no to the position, then we would have to also we wouldn't still be getting the 166,000 shared services. We need to deduct out those.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything further?
I just think we're being too easy on. I think we ought to drill them a little harder.
I stood before you for 4.5 years, so I threw that.
Thank you, Captain.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So again, the J&M sanitation rate increase presentation, we're going to do that at a later date. Next item is item 6A, public hearing and consideration to approve 18-01-AN annexation. Jace Hellman, planner, and we have the applicant that's going to speak on this to begin with. Okay. Yeah, if you would just come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. And
hi, I'm Stephanie Cortez, and I live at 760 South School Avenue. And I'm applying for annexation of my property into the city limits with the ultimate goal of splitting off an acre so that my dad can build a house on the property. And I would also like to grandfather in my farm animals.
Okay. Any questions for the applicant at this point? Okay, thank you. Jace, you're up.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, planner 2, City of Kuna, 751 West 4th Street. As stated previously, the application before you tonight is for the annexation of approximately 3 acres into Kuna city limits. The site under application is located at 760 South School Avenue, which is just south of the Willow Glen subdivision. The parcel is contiguous or has its touches along both its northeastern boundary, or along its northeastern boundary, and it contains a county zoning designation of R1. The applicants requested to be annexed in the city with an R2 low density zoning designation. As she indicated, she does have farm animals on site. Kuna City Code 5-3-2 does allow for farm animals within an R2 zone. However, it specifically allows for 5 animals. Staff determined that due to this use being allowed on her property in the county, that she should be allowed to maintain her current number of farm animals as a non-conforming use once she's annexed into the city. And then, of course, she'd be subject to the provisions set forth in Kuna City Code Title 5, Chapter 8. City services are within 300 feet of the property, but will work with the applicant, and they'd be required to connect at the time of their current system failure. All noticing requirements for this application for the hearing tonight have been met. The property was posted. Notices were mailed to property owners within 300 feet of the property, and an ad was run in the CUNA Melbourne News. And the applicant has submitted all necessary documents required for annexation. Staff would conclude that this annexation is conformance with CUNA City Code and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, the future land use map. Staff would forward a recommendation of approval, and I'll stand for any questions you guys might have.
Okay. Questions for Jace? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So this is a public hearing. I only had the applicant and then one other person that signed up, but they signed up not to testify. Was there anybody that didn't get a chance to sign up that wants to speak? Okay. So just as a matter of procedure, we need to go ahead and open the public hearing portion of 18-01-AN. Once again, is there anyone who wishes to testify in this case? If not, we have a motion to close the public hearing.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. And the question is rightfully before council.
Mayor?
Yes.
I would have to abstain from voting. The young lady and her father were a neighbor of mine for many years. So.
Okay. Any questions? Comment?
It looks like everything's in order. I don't see any issues with approving the variance for the animals. No issues there. So I move we approve case number 18-01-AN with the conditions of approval as listed in the packet.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve 18-01-AN with the conditions that have been presented in the packet. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much. Item B, public hearing and consideration to approve 18-02-AN and 18-02-CPF, combination pre-plat and final plat, Dynasty Estates subdivision number 2. Troy, and we have the applicant here. Okay, very good.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Steve Johnson. I live at 6801 South Linder Road. We're here before you to seek approval to annex into CUNA city limits and also to do a preliminary and final plat on our 10-acre property, which we want to divide in a 7.5 and a 2.5-acre property, respectively.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for the applicant? Not yet. We'll hit you up later.
Okay.
Thank you. Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Just for the record, Troy Buchanan, 751 West 4th Street, you know, planning and zoning staff. The application before you tonight, 18-02-AN annexation and 18-02-CPF combination preliminary for final plat for Steve Johnson, Stephen Deborah Johnson, for Dynasty Estates number 2. This parcel does meet the annexation requirements criteria. It touches the city limits on the east and the west side of the property. Just for your reference, the project is two parcels north of what is affectionately called Linder Farms, and it is directly across the street from the first phase of Spring Hill. So it's just a little south of Lake Hazel on Linder Road. Staff has been working with Steve and Deborah Johnson for just over a year, and they have assembled their application and got it together, and they've worked with staff and they've provided staff with everything that we have asked for. Staff does support this application, or both of these applications. In fact, staff has met with the city engineer and also with the planning and zoning director, and we've had discussions with them about the combination preliminary final plat combo, because the city does not encourage septic tanks. There's a little discussion to have, especially when the final plat is involved. Mm-hmm. This is a lot within Dynasty Estates. It's lot number 5, block 1. So in order to divide the property, as Steve has mentioned, into two separate parcels, a 2.5 and a 7.5 acre parcel, the only way to do that is to do a final plat. It does qualify for a combination and preliminary final plat because they're not dedicating any new roads, and it is significantly under the 10-lot threshold. The property size is just 10 acres, and their ultimate goal is to let the existing residents and the outbuildings that are on the 10 acres to remain in place and to be used by another family. They would like to use the 2.5 acre, which will be divided off if the combination plat is approved. They would like to build another home and use a septic tank until they're able to actually connect into the city sewer system. They're challenged just a little bit. They live in an awkward situation. They're directly across the street from Spring Hill, except the closest part of their lot is close to the lift station. You can't just tap into a lift station.
Right.
You need to do a little bit more than just tapping into that. So it's a little more difficult. Also compounding the problem, the 2.5 acre split and the line between the 2.5 acres and the 7 acres is more than 900 feet from the right-of-way. So it's a significant distance, and it would be a tremendous cost to require them to connect into the Spring Hill subdivision. but staff has talked to the city engineer, and we do recommend that some provisions be taken just in case the property to the west of them is developed. Staff does recommend that dry lines be installed for the property so that in the event somewhere down the road that western parcel does develop, that they won't have to rip up their yard in order to put that in. However, there are no plans at this point to develop that land. It is in the city, but no one's come to talk to us about development. So as you can see, there would be an extraordinary cost to require them to connect into the sewer system. But staff does support their proposal for the annexation and also for the combination plat. Hopefully you've had a chance to read the staff report and to review those recommended conditions. Staff would only like to add that there's a cross-access agreement for both of the properties so that somebody doesn't get cut off from access to Linda Road. Other than that, staff would stand for any questions that you might have.
Okay. Question for Troy.
Is the MOU or the plan to connect in the future acceptable to the applicants?
They have been advised that would be recommended by the city,
okay,
by the staff, and I believe that there were no concerns connecting into the sewer at some point.
Oh, no.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Further question?
Troy, do we have the final say to septic tank and well, or does Central Health have that final say?
I believe the city has the heavy hammer in that. I think the city has the final say.
Do that? Okay.
If they were in the county, they could petition the health department, and they would actually get approval if they meet their criteria. But because they're wanting to the city, then
Okay, I just didn't want Central Health to override us if we approved the septic tank, is what I was worried about.
Yeah, we'll have to have come up to the mic there if you're going to.
I'd like to add something on that septic. We've actually gone ahead and hired an engineer, and Central District Health came out, and we did test hole inspections, and we found proper soil types, and Central District Health is already writing up that system's design, so it was accepted by Central District Health for the septic.
Okay. I just didn't want to okay it and then find out we
no,
had problems
no, we didn't want to do
with
that
the county.
Either.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Again, this is a public hearing, and we'll go ahead and open the public hearing portion to 18-02-AN and 18-02-CPF. There was no one that signed up to testify. Is there anybody that wishes to testify in this matter at this time? If not, then a motion to close the public hearing.
Move to close public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing for 18-02-AN and 18-02-CPF. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries, and the question is rightfully before council.
The request appears to comply with the comp plan. I note that planning and zoning approved this with a vote of 4-0. And I don't see that it conflicts with city code or Idaho code in any way. So I move we approve 18-02-AN and 18-02-CPF with the conditions of approval as listed.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve 18-02-AN and 18-02-CPF with the conditions listed. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you very much. Next item is General Fund and Enterprise Fund presentation. Bill Jackson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Bill Jackson, Deputy Treasurer, Intern, City Treasurer. Time. In your packet, I included, I did an updated general fund packet information for you, which just changed numbers, but I moved a lot of the information that was in the lower section into the first section to include it in the budget numbers to give you a better understanding of where everything's at. Including, we probably we still have not made has decisions made on the Ada County Sheriffs or the 3% property tax. Those decisions are not included in this yet until the council has decided on that. So our now the deficit at in the general fund is at 433,319. As previously, it was like 206 and something. I can't remember the complete figure. But as I said, that does include, I added on the up top the 3.48% COLA and some items the Public Works has requested. I moved those requests up into that area too to give you a better understanding and see what direction you would like to follow with that.
So basically, section 2 got bigger and section 3 got smaller. Some of the items from section 3 that are not included got moved up to section 2 that are now included, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so one of the things now that we have is the numbers for the enterprise funds. And Bob, is there anything that you wanted to mention in any of that at this point?
Uh,
Mayor and Council. Thank you. For the record, Bob Bachman. I think the only thing I'd like to point out, and then I'd answer, be willing to answer any questions, is that if you notice, the contingency amounts are quite large, the carryovers are. A lot of that has to do with when I took the Public Works job, we kind of pushed pause on the projects that were scheduled so we could evaluate the needs versus the current growth. And that's why some of those carryovers are so large. We were trying to make a good decision for the city moving forward based on the facts that were presented in front of us as they came up. So I think that that might be a little bit misleading as far as the amount of contingencies in there. We do have a very aggressive schedule plan next year for capital improvement projects. But I just wanted to point out the fact that more than anything, we just wanted to take a step back and make sure we're making an educated decision on which direction to go with the infrastructure instead of just, you know, spending the money.
So. Yeah, so the capital improvement projects that had been listed before really didn't have an explanation as to why, so they needed to make sure that they got those all in order.
And the way it worked out is probably a good thing because growth kind of moved in different directions from what it, in 2016-17 when that budget was created. We kind of moved in a couple different directions that it's probably a good thing that we stopped. And as you'll see in the upcoming items I have, those are a direct reflection of some of the changes that were made and that I think will be a better direction.
Okay. Thank you. And so, again, there's a lot of information here. I don't know how far council wants to get into any of this tonight. We did have on our calendar yet for a standalone meeting on the 23rd, was it, I think, 24th?
Next Monday.
Oh, next, yeah, 23rd, okay. So I guess it depends on how far we get here tonight and what council is interested in doing. As far as that goes, if we want to have that meeting or not. So we still have to make a determination also on the 3%. And I guess my thoughts on that would be that, again, we have the police that are hitting us up for another $291,000. Basically about the same as what the increase was last year, as I recall. So even if we take all the increases we can take, that pretty well eats that up. If we take the 3%. The one thing, I'm always supportive of helping the police department and making sure they have what they need. The one thing that I'm a little bit worried about is that with some of the stuff with the police, if we ever do have a hiccup in the economy, I would just like to make it clear to the police department that we may not be able to sustain that same budget for them in the following years. So eventually we'll catch up to it and it'll be fine, but right now with those kind of increases 2 years in a row, that might be hard to sustain if there is a situation with property taxes or whatever in the near future.
Mayor, Council, also in the general fund, I received the budget for the Economic Development Director several days ago, so I did incorporate that into the numbers and into the expense, general fund revenue and expense statement. So that's part of the increase there you'd be seeing there is that Economic Village budget, so numbers.
All right. Yeah, that came in when I was on my vacation, and I forgot to get that to him. So,
Bob, can you talk about the Relocate Power underground pull at Avenue B in Maine?
For the record, Bob Bachman. Yes, that's basically prep for phase two of downtown revitalization, trying to get ahead of the curve on that. Anticipating construction costs will only keep going up. I think if we can get ahead of that and do it a year in advance, we'll save some money in the bidding process for when we get to downtown revitalization phase two. And there's also actually, there is a ADA compliance issue with that. Chris is actually working on a grant to extend the sidewalk from the corner there all the way down to the senior center. So if we get that grant, then we'll be doing that sidewalk right there, and the pole will have to be relocated at the very least. So with having to relocate it to get it out of the ped ramp, it's probably just a better option to put it underground and get that out of the middle of the sidewalk.
Okay.
It's basically identical to what we did out in front of Super C.
Would be nice to have or a neat must have?
It's pretty close to a must have. One way or the other, it's going to have to be relocated. So the additional cost of relocating versus putting it underground is not, we don't have a number for relocating, but it's probably 10, 15,000 difference to go underground versus relocating it.
Okay.
If we establish that first, can we still use those numbers as in-kind matches for grants? Okay.
No, it has to be within the project cycle, the funding project cycle. So we have not started that. That doesn't start until 2020. So we wouldn't be able to in-kind until we were in the project status.
Okay.
Question for anybody who feels equipped to answer it. In looking at the general fund lead page, the items that are included in the tentative total, would you consider any of those postponable or reducible or anything? Like, I know some things got pulled up, which is why I asked about relocating the power, but just if there's anything else in there that anybody has thoughts about reducing. Yes.
So I just noticed on the relocating the power, mm-hmm. I did not give Bill the updated bid on that. It's actually $65,000, not $85,000.
Okay.
If that helps a little bit.
That helps a little bit.
We got the bid in just a week or so ago. I think the 85 when we budgeted was what we used at Super C, and it came in at 65 also. So.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, it's I like mistakes in that direction.
I was gonna say that's good news.
Yeah. Bobby?
Yes.
Anything that you see there that is might be a nice to have but not need to have?
Probably missing out on the greenbelt lighting this year.
Okay.
That's probably something we could skip a year on.
Okay. The acquisition of city shop / yard, is that acquiring property and then building something on it? Like, is it a two-part thing, or it's listed as a mayor item, but is Bob?
Yeah, so basically that's the acquisition of the ACHD property, doing that through a swap. So this would mostly be for the building. Is that correct? Okay. So this would be building a shop building on that property. But we still haven't gotten that deal done with ACHD yet either, so.
I think, Bob, you might have talked about this at a different meeting, but this the cedar shakes at the senior center, is that that's an urgent problem? Or am I misremembering?
Yes, it's becoming an urgent problem. They're falling off, starting to leak. We either could keep patching it or just replace it with asphalt shingles or a metal roof of some sort and be done with the problem. It is becoming a problem. We've had several of them come off and starting to leak.
And the facility energy upgrades, is that the senior center or something else?
That is basically, we're trying to get all the buildings more energy efficient through LED programs or different incentives through Idaho Power. So the big push so far has been the building envelope themselves, okay. Whether that be LED lights or more efficient fixtures or whatever that case looks like.
Okay.
And then, of course, the other thing is the City Hall acquisition reserve replenishment. It kind of seems like if we're going to pull that out of contingency so that we can rebuild our contingency, we're working in circles there.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul, as it were.
Yeah.
What is the Greenbelt acquisition, $1,500? Bobby?
I'm still waiting to hear back from Union Pacific, but we're trying to, right now we currently lease the Greenbelt, all 18 acres of it, and we're trying to buy it so we can have it as an asset so we can do what we want with it. So I haven't heard a definite number, but that is a number that they threw around at one point, so that's why I put it on there, just to keep it in your mind.
And basically, I don't know, you probably haven't been in on any of those conversations, but we really can't build anything on there. Like we were talking about doing the spike pad out back here. We can't put things like that on the railroad property. They won't allow it. So until we buy it, we can't put in buildings, and we can't do there's just a lot of stuff we can't do. We can do pathways and put in park benches and stuff. That's about it.
Mayor,
if Bill, a week ago, page 2 or section 4, you showed a carryover of $1,411,604. That's jumped up to $1,994,323. That's about $500,000. Where is the difference?
Councilman Cardoza, when I went back through it all and I went through some of those line items getting readjusted, that's where the number came back a little bit higher, because I had a higher amount in some of those short-term liabilities than I should have been. And so our reserves comes out a little bit higher.
So everything on the worksheet you gave us a week ago, we can discard?
Yes, sir. Yes, Councilman.
Current ones.
That's why I provided the updated information for you.
Well, just everybody's maybe on the same page. If we remove the Greenbelt lighting at 60, take 15 off of the locating the power underground, and pull off that City Hall replenishment, if we take all of the property taxes that we are permitted to take, we would be looking at a deficit of just $23,201, in case that's helpful in kind of figuring out if there's something else we want to pull off or if that's a deficit that we're okay with. Not saying that, like, that's the final, obviously. We can still talk a lot more about it and see what folks are comfortable with. But
Bob, could you give me a little information on the electric car? Is that a scooter or a full-blown car? Or?
Yes, Councilman Cardoza. So there was going to be a request made for a new truck. So instead of putting in a request for a new truck, the truck that I use would just be turned over to the guys, and then get electric cars, something more efficient for the staff to use, running the meetings or this or that or whatever they do. So instead of buying another truck, just turning my truck over to them and then purchasing a fuel-efficient car that they can go to meetings with or something like
that. You can buy an electric car for $15,000?
No, that's split between all funds.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're looking at 30. Okay.
Yeah. And there's also, if we can do that, there's actually rebates from Idaho Power and incentives for Idaho Power to, like, charging stations and that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, going slightly but not too much off topic, is there still an intent that we're going to get a vehicle charging station located here, whether for our use or public use?
AIC, we talked about that a little bit. Idaho Power is working with a couple of different manufacturers to come in and upon request, put in charging stations. So it's something I just got to pursue a little bit further.
Okay. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. I mean, I don't know if, like, there's a lot of stuff involved. But if we were able to have that be something where, like, hey, come walk your dog on the green belt and you can charge your car for free, I think that'd be cool.
Good. Thank you.
Next question. Pre-purchase lights for downtown. Is that another one of those that we could not get reimbursed if we get a grant for second section?
So the lights for phase one of downtown were $135,000 for 12 of them. This is basically an effort to cut out all that markup on them. And I actually got the bid in today for the entire project of phase two. If we purchase them ourselves as the city, it's $65,000. So it's almost $100,000 savings if we buy the lights instead of doing it through the project. And another part of that is, since it looks like, and Chris can probably weigh in on this more, since it looks like, well, phase two will be funded through grants, there's a slight chance or a chance that the lights that we put in phase two will not be the same lights that we have in phase one if we purchase them through the grant. So the only way we can be guaranteed to have the exact same light is if the city purchased the lights themselves and not do it through the grant.
And can you speak to whether we would get credit for contributing those as, like, an in-kind or not?
No, that wouldn't contribute. However, the difference between the lights and the power pole is the power pole will not be reflective of federal monies. And federal monies have the upcharges of the Davis-Bacon wages, as well as they you're limited on who you can source from, and those criteria change. So in this case, with the lights, where it differs from the power pole, the investment, though we wouldn't get credit for it, the investment in the long term would save us in overall project costs.
Okay.
As well as any upcoming match.
So basically what I did is split it over 2 years. I was anticipating it being somewhere between $60,000 and $70,000. The bid came in today at $65,000 for all the lights for phase two. And I was actually wrong. The bid on phase one is $144,000. Not the bid, what we paid is $144,000 for 12 lights.
Okay, but you only got $30,000 down. You want it for 2 years, but you want to buy them immediately. Where would the other 30 come from? Do we have a carryover?
No, I would rebudget next year for the additional $35,000. So
but,
six.
But you have to buy them this year.
No, we don't have to buy them this year. The only way the price would be locked in and guaranteed is if we bought them all this year. But you're looking at maybe a 2-3% increase. So basically, I was trying to split it up into 2 years just to get ahead of the curve. So.
Okay.
Councilmember Cardoza, where Bob talked about that it, by buying the lights through the project cost through the contractor, the reason we may not be able to guarantee the same ones is because we sometimes are limited in the choices of the products that we can choose from based on the federal criteria and whatever they standardize at that period of time. So in 2020, the standardization for the lights may not be the same lights that we currently have, which in order to comply with the federal funding, we would have to switch to whatever lights that they designated that met their criteria at that time. If that makes sense.
No, it don't, but I'll accept it.
All right.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird process. Basically, the contractor submits three different lights. One of them can be the exact same light, and then they submit two alternatives, and they get to pick which one they put in there. That's the risky part about it.
Other than that, we have full control.
Bob, would we be better off to go ahead and finish the green belt at this time as opposed to the downtown for the same price, basically?
To be honest with you, I probably agree with Bobby on that one. Postponing that a year or maybe two might be the right thing to do, especially as young as that end of the park is. And we have serious lava issues to deal with on the east of Swan Falls. So I would probably agree with him that that would probably be, it's a more challenging project and could, you know, the budgets on that were kind of touch and go depending on lava. And I think that as young as that park is, the damage that, you know, we have to tear up a significant part of it to put those lights in. It's just much more challenging than the two phases we've already done. So I would probably agree with Bobby on that, but that one would be a good one to put a little bit more research into to figure out another way to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think on some of those things like that, we can also look at, we're about 4 months from the end of this fiscal year. Right now we're making projections on what the carryovers are. We should be within reason. But if it's council's preference to get this down to a balanced budget, we can do that and then see what the actual is on the carryovers for the next fiscal year, and then you can be more comfortable using out a contingency fund to do some of these projects if they don't get funded right now during this process, if that makes sense. Sure. Then we know for sure what carryover money there is, what contingencies there are, and then we can go that way. Then we're working with real numbers instead of forecasted.
Question for Bill. I see comp plan rewrite, FY17 unspent carried forward is 30. It was taken out and set aside, and in a manner of speaking, in FY17. Hasn't been spent, so it's going to get dumped back in.
Correct.
To the general fund. So in theory, we could consider that kind of deleted. I mean, in the sense of, like, it's not actually a new expenditure because it's the same money from last year that we're just pushing forward.
Yeah, and
next
I just
year.
Wanted to make a note, throw it in there so you're aware of it more
okay.
or less.
Yeah.
I know they still hadn't finished it, and they were still in talking to Wendy. That was about the amount of money that was left, and she might have some more information available to that.
Okay. But so, yeah, go ahead.
By the end of this fiscal year, the comp plan should be completed. However, in fact, I just got it today and was looking over it. There are some additional things we may want to consider to help expedite the changes that will be needed in the zoning ordinance so that we can take the comp plan, the new future land use map to the county. Which is this one? We put down 30,000 because that was kind of their first estimate, and what they came back with was 41,390. But I think a couple of those options may not be necessary. So I envision that we'll be taking some of that off the table.
And how much? I guess I'm trying to figure out the way that it's written right now. It sounds like of the total amount that was budgeted for the comp plan rewrite, 30,000 is still left over as unspent and would be basically pushed into FY18 where we need to reallocate it, or FY19 rather, for continued use on the comp plan. Is that the case? Like, is there still leftover monies that we...
There will not be leftover monies. That was a miscommunication between
okay.
Bill and myself.
So there's a request then for between 30 and like 42,000 additional?
Correct. I still have to talk to the mayor about that before I bring in the options so that you guys can choose what you feel you want to move forward with.
For purposes of just trying to figure out the budget, should the number be higher than 30? Do you anticipate, I mean, just so we can kind of have a clear idea of if we're trying to balance what we need to get to.
Looking at their options, I feel will be just slightly over 19.
19.
So, because there's two that I would like to be moved forward with. The other two.
And there's actually with what they have suggested, there's some of those things in there that we've looked at that actually are in the original contract for the comp plan rewrite. So the question is whether or not they need to be able to charge us more for things they've already said that they're going to do. So that's what Wendy and I were kind of looking at, and I think there's some things on there that we can pull off that already being done in the original rewrite. So.
Okay, so we feel pretty comfortable about putting that as a $20,000 line item then? Okay.
I am pretty comfortable.
Okay. So if we're going to be keeping score then, for the things that I'm suggesting we consider removing, we're still looking at 13201 over.
Mayor, Council, to be transparent with all of my stuff, it actually didn't make the first page. Bill bundled all of it up and put it at the back of the general fund in the capital improvements for parks, which did total up to roughly $290,000. And that includes, what do we got? Trimming trees along Indian Creek, $140,000 for parking and putting in over at the park house off of Orchard. Let's see.
So wait, where would we find this?
I don't think you guys actually got it because it was just put in as a lump sum number, so it wasn't broken out.
So it's nowhere on this spreadsheet at all?
Mm-mm. The number is at the end of the general fund.
Do you know what spreadsheet you're talking about? You're referencing, rather? I just don't know if I'm looking at the right one because I don't see like a 140 lump anywhere.
No. So this didn't make it onto the front of what you guys are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we normally do that?
Yeah.
Instead, Bill lumped everything into one sum and put it in the capital expenses without breaking it out.
So
is it on any spreadsheet at all?
It is, yes.
Okay, what spreadsheet?
No, okay, it's not on any of your spreadsheets.
Okay.
I'll have to send it to you.
Okay, so it is not currently included in any of the totals?
No, it is included in the total.
The total of what?
So the 7, is that the 7,405,000? It is included in that.
Okay. Okay.
It's just not listed out.
So those are things we could, I'm not saying would, but those are things we can consider modifying, reducing.
Yes.
Okay. And you'll send that to us?
Yes.
Okay. Would you send it to us? I'm not trying to put you in a different position than other folks, but is there any way you could, like, rank those in terms of, like, most needed or wanted versus, like, these could happen later?
Yeah, I did that with the spreadsheet already, and that's where I came up with the 296,000.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, you guys can look at it and then cut from there.
Okay. But so, like, is everything that's included, is that all, like, we should have these this year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any way to do some more?
Yes.
Prioritizing on that? Okay. Just because if we can't say mm-hmm. yes to the whole amount,
yeah.
It'd be helpful to know what you think is most important so that we're not just like arbitrarily.
Just taking stuff out.
Yeah. We're like, hey, we need something for 13,000. We'll take, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I will do that.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
If I could ask Bill. Bill, it looks like Ada County's asking for a 3% cost of living. If you continued about the fifth or, well, more than that, about three quarters of the way down on section two, We're looking at a 3.48 COLA. Why the difference?
Well, the 3.48 is what we've used in the past, the city, the consumer price index for figuring out the COLA for the city. The Ada County one is what they presented as their figure. They didn't provide any first, second, and third options this year as they did in the past. The chief had only provided with the 3% COLA, which it was what Ada County was providing.
I guess my question is, cost of living has got to be the same for everybody in Ada County, I would think.
It could be when, depends when you pull the information, because I pulled it in June, so it went from May to May, and the calculation.
Is Ada capped at doing just a 1, 2, or 3? For some reason, that's sticking in my head, that 3 is the maximum they can do.
I think so. I think last year, if I remember looking at the documents, they had like a no COLA, 1%, and
yeah.
A 2 or 3, and a 4%.
Oh, did they?
And this year when he only presented one option of 3%.
And that could have been because the commissioners have already been like indicating that's what they're
correct.
Doing.
Yeah.
But I'll just say, Rich, from the perspective of, I know we're not talking federal, but just because there's a cost of living increase, it doesn't mean that all governmental entities would get a cost of living increase. There was many years where, like, at the federal level, there wasn't one at all. So we don't have to be consistent. Like, we could be consistent with Ada County, but we don't have to, and we certainly have no ability to make them be consistent with us.
What was the COLA last year?
2.62.
Okay. Mayor, just
yes.
Out of curiosity, when you're looking at the comp plan rewrite, the consequences of the rewrite affects every department. It might be a little late to even discuss it, but should the comp plan been broken out over the irrigation, sewer, waterfront, PI, and general fund? It affects every department indirectly, rather than the general fund having to pick up. What was the total, Wendy?
I was thinking it was
around 80. I was going to say, I thought 80, but I didn't want to throw that out.
I thought it was like 120. Bob's nodding at 120.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident it was higher than 100.
I think
so. Anyway, maybe it should be directed at Richard. Richard, should that have been broken out as a line item in each one of the funds, since the consequences affect every one of them equally?
I don't think Bob would agree with that at all.
No, but... In fairness to all the funds, should that have been broken out equally to every fund
or unequally
as a consequence of the comp plan?
Well, you're looking at it as a development tool versus what we typically divide between the enterprise fund and the general fund are expenses, their shared expenses, things that can be attributable to actually costing for it. So I would think that no, it wouldn't be fair to charge the enterprise fund for that versus those actual expenses.
Okay.
And just to make notes, Councilman Carter, that did kind of follow the guideline from the past year of where that money, how that money was distributed, just to let you know.
Right. I'm just wondering if we did it incorrectly in the past, though, that it should have been through all the funds, because every fund has a consequence to the
comp
plan. How it distinguishes. So
okay.
Bob learned from Gordon about how to shake your head no.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're trying to take
I've
his
got
funds.
A doll that does that in the car. I guess the one thing in here that just infuriates me, I'm just don't even want to talk about it, is Humane Society increase. That just. I would be willing to take that out and let them serve the consequence of not getting a pay raise personally.
Well, I'll just throw it out there that I'm concerned that we would serve the consequence of not having a contract at all and then not having anybody to do animal control. And I'm confident we would spend more even just hiring a single animal control officer than we currently spend on the entire Humane Society contract.
And we talked about this again a little bit today, but this next year there's going to be some serious conversations on with all the other cities involved as to how this is supposed to get handled and how it's going to be handled, because the police obviously have that same concern that they're actually doing a lot of the calls that the Humane Society should be taking, and so we've got to, this has got to come to a head. It's been going on for a long time, and we've never really gotten resolution to it. So
I think one of my problems is Humane Society is flying into the county here animals from California, and we're actually subsidizing dogs that are coming from out of state. So
I don't know that that's true at all.
It is.
All right.
There is a gentleman who is donating his time to bring fly the animals.
Oh, I know they bring
into Ada County,
yeah,
free of charge. We're subsidizing those animals that are brought in from California, and I don't have a problem where the dog originates so much as that we're having to pay for the animals that are brought in out of state. I guess that's my biggest concern.
Okay.
All right, any more conversation on this, or are we waiting to see Bobby's spreadsheet? Follow-up question, do we feel like we need to have a meeting on Monday then, or are we at a place where I'm trying, let me look at my calendar.
Well, that's kind of where we're at here, I think, right now, is it seems as though we've kind of got this whittled down pretty close. So it just kind of depends on if the council is all on board with the increases we have and the 3%, the new annexation.
So as far as the enterprise funds and the other funds, are we good with those funds, or do you still need to go through those and continue? Because those will probably go a little much quicker going through those than the general fund. Obviously, it's more of a issue and topics of discussion. Or do you want to continue on the general fund until and get that completed? Or are we good with the other ones? Or do you want to go through them?
I think I'm good with the other ones. Does anybody else?
Yeah, I think generally on those, the capital improvement projects and things like that, it's not really things that we feel like we have much of a choice on. So,
right. And all that's going to come out of the reserves or contingencies, and we should be able to cover it. It's the general fund. It's pretty much the open question of how to spread those funds out.
Yeah.
Right.
So it seems to me like we would probably be fine with canceling Monday's meeting and then just planning on having another conversation at our next scheduled council meeting, so the first one in August.
Yeah.
With Bobby's spreadsheet included, that gives you weeks, but you're okay. I think we can probably get down to like a fairly, we could still talk tonight if folks want to about, do we want to take the 3%, do we want to take new construction roll, that kind of stuff, or we can wait and do that.
And that's probably some of the biggest items is whether you want to take it, and we can get those numbers thrown in there so you can really get a clearer picture of where we're at.
Yeah.
If we get squared away a little bit, then maybe we can set a tentative budget for that night and get squared away.
Yeah.
It's your council's call.
Well, in terms of property tax levy, I mean, I'll just reiterate what we said last year, which was, you know, if approving a large increase in the sheriff's budget, we need to cover that with recurring funds, and we would quickly run the risk of running out of money entirely if we had to dig into contingency for a huge amount every year. So with a requested increase of almost $292,000, if we take all of the property, if we levy all the property taxes we are entitled to, we would, it'd be just under 311. So we're looking at about $20,000 of wiggle room if we wanted to take, I mean, I think we need, we'll probably need to talk about what the total amount of additional expenditures we want to add is, and if we just want to take the tax amount to cover the sheriff's budget, or if we would also like it to cover some of these other things. But that was kind of, for I guess for Warren's sake more than anybody's, because he wasn't here last year, that was why we increased taxes last year, because we needed to pay for the police.
I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just more for my knowledge, I guess, if I ask this, but I completely understand your logic behind that based on the increase we're seeing with the Sheriff's Department. I think it's also important to go back to what the mayor said in that if they're asking for that every year as it is, how long can we support that? So we can either make the call to say it's worth the risk to go into contingency 1 year, and if they keep asking for the sheriff's thing, knowing that we as a city will need to look at those type of increases year in and year out anyway with the sheriff department.
The challenging part is just if we go into contingency 1 year, we're committing to going into contingency every year going forward for that same amount, because it's not like the 291 is a one-time expense.
Right.
It's all for personnel that will, they'll have that same expense year after year. Yeah, so if we don't end up at some point increasing taxes to cover that, we will end up having to come out of contingency every year for it.
Makes sense.
And I would guess, I don't know for sure if we ever did come up with a guess on that, but I think the amount of growth that we've seen in our community over the past year, a 3% increase probably is probably still going to be a net decrease on people's property taxes, at least I would guess. I think population-wise, we've gained 5%. Some of that is new annexation, but
when I remember he said that we've gone up like 12% value in CUNA, which was like higher than everywhere else. So I think there was an expectation that we might have a slight increase in the bills, but not like humongous.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, certainly I haven't checked, but I know that as of like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we had the sixth lowest property taxes in the entire state of Idaho. So we're certainly not taxing people to death.
Yeah, we still have a very reasonable property tax levy for the city.
Mm-hmm.
We're still just over a 3, I believe.
So, if, like I mentioned, if we wanted to fully cover the full amount that the police are asking for, we would be looking at the new construction rule covers a lot of it, but we would need to still probably take at least 2%. I could do the math on it real quick, but because the 3% is 62, we had basically $20,000 of playroom, but that again was only if we're covering the police budget and nothing else, if my math was right. So we don't have to make a decision tonight, but I guess just so that we kind of have it in our heads what we're thinking we might need to do in terms of levies and stuff like that for next meeting.
Yeah, I think if we kind of can know we're somewhat on the same page, then like Bill said, he can kind of get some numbers put up and we can actually have a tentative budget laid out for the next meeting.
I'm fine with taking the 3%. Just throwing it out there so that there's something on the table.
Greg, what are you thinking?
I don't get paid to think. I think things look good, and I agree. If we can just do the 3% and cover it, and I think we're in good shape.
We're keeping up then.
Yeah.
Not falling behind.
And again, with the growth, taxes are going down. So a 3% increase doesn't necessarily mean that kind of an increase in taxes. It's
well, you think about it, it's $62,000 and then spread over the entire property in CUNA. That's going to be pretty small.
62,000 over 6,000 plus homes.
$10 maybe?
Yeah.
Give or take, depending on your home value.
$10, and then that doesn't take into account the reduction because of the extra homes that are in there. So. Richard, what are you thinking?
What is the credit of $1,545 for the solar farm, is it?
That's a solar farm that did last year, and it was listed this year in the county assessed values as a credit for CUNA. It was presented last year. I wasn't here for that, so I'm really not completely sure, but it was an amount that was listed as a credit to the city.
Must be something the Ada County Commissioners worked out with them, Mayor, in order to entice them.
Yeah, I don't know. They went legislatively and got their tax abatement, so I don't really know for sure what that is.
I guess I'd bite the bullet on 3% this year.
Warren, yes, no, not willing to commit.
No. I'm definitely not going to say no, especially with this being a first budget cycle. There's still more I need to understand to really question too much about it, because what you guys are saying makes sense. So 3% is perfectly reasonable, sounds like.
Okay. Well, let's do that, Bill. Then let's go ahead and put that together. We'll put these in there. We'll add those numbers in, and then we can come up with a little closer on tentative budget. Bobby can get his numbers sent out. Do we want to have him just send those out ASAP?
He could. I think it makes sense to maybe include them in the packet too, and then that way we can just have the discussion about it on the record. And
okay, we can do that. No problem.
Okay.
How much is? You're probably down pretty close to the nitty gritty, so it's not going to take you a lot of effort now to kind of get this tightened up.
It shouldn't.
Okay.
It seems like it's just a matter of us kind of going through that the lead page. And then Bobby's spreadsheet and saying yes or no.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is my first year doing this, so I'm battling through a few of these things myself, but it should be much easier since we're moving along in the process.
We can commit to not changing more than that, at least, hopefully.
All right, very good. Anything else anybody wants to talk about on that? All right, next item, request for FY18 contingency funds in the amount of $30,000 to install a pressurized irrigation main. Bob Bachman.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. For the record, Bob Bachman. This is one of those projects I was kind of referring to earlier where we had to take a step back and see exactly where the needs are. This one happens to be pressurized irrigation. With the Leonard duplexes going in, was a prime opportunity for us to get this PI line in that we've needed to do for a long time. This line opens up a lot of possibilities to us. Linky Court is one of them. Valley Run Apartments across the street gets us that much closer to getting them on PI, which frees up $3 to $4 million 3 to 4 million gallons of potable water. So due to the development of the Leonard duplexes is basically what opened up the opportunity to do this project. We haven't really done a PI project this year, so this is a really a we had several items budgeted, but we felt that this one is one, since we had them already budgeted, we'll have to take this out of contingency, but basically trading projects is what it is. This one is a much more high priority and a unique opportunity for us because of the Leonard duplex project. So I just ask your permission to get that done.
Yeah, we've talked before about how important it is to switch folks from gravity to pressure, and the big problem of the fact that we give really super subsidized water rates for people to use potable on their lawns, which just doesn't make sense and costs everybody in CUNA in order to give that reduced rate. So I'm totally on board. I noted that you said the connection fees are projected around 20, so it's really not a huge cost outlay for the city. But I think in serving the purpose of trying to maintain our potable water supply for actual consumption, like human consumption, is a worthwhile goal. So I don't want to cut off discussion about it, but I will go ahead and offer a motion to approve. I move we approve $30,000 to install a PI line or a PI main expenditure funds from contingency.
Second. A motion is made and seconded to approve the request for $30,000 to install a pressurized irrigation main and get that from the PI contingency. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. Chris, would you poll the council on this one, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Lubin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you. Bob's up again. Consideration to approve resolution number R43-2018.
Council Mayor, thank you for the record. Bob Bachman. This is a request to do a rate study on our water rates, sewer rates, and our hookup fee rates. What prompted this is the rapid growth we're looking at and the rapid increase in construction costs. This rate study has not been looked at since, I believe, it's roughly 13 years old. Is that right, Richard? 2006, so 12 years old. So obviously we have not kept up with inflation and cost of construction. So this is just a very comprehensive look at the rates we are currently charging. And this also does look at the EDU discussion that we had a couple council meetings ago, and will present a couple other opportunities to us or options to us to look at for the way we charge EDUs on commercial rates, commercial businesses. Another thing this study will do is it'll give Public Works, myself, it'll give us a comprehensive definition of each account and how we can legally spend money in those accounts. And I think that'll be a very helpful tool for us to make sure that when we're moving forward and allocating funds and expensing stuff, we're doing it properly. Not that we aren't, but it'll help us with the I don't have, you know, Gordon's 30 years of knowledge of exactly how he was doing that. So this will give us a comprehensive definition on all those expenditures and, you know, exactly how we can use the funds inside of those definitions. So I think it's something we really need to do. For one, just to make sure we are covering our expenses, the Orchard Street lift station is a perfect example of what we're facing now moving forward as far as construction costs go. It was roughly $800,000, more than we had budgeted for. So I think this will give us a good opportunity to make sure that those accounts are healthy and to bring options to you guys to look at for different rate structures for water. I know I've had a lot of people talk to me about how we charge a flat fee for water versus a change in that scale around a little bit based on what you actually use. Mm-hmm. So this will address that also. I do think it would be valuable to have a couple people off council on kind of a review committee for this so we can really dive into it. It's going to be a lot of data and a lot of information. So.
I love data and information, so I would be pleased to be a part of it if you would have me. Quick question for you is, I noted in the memo, it's a request for contingency funds, but then it also notes that the study will be strictly between water and sewer departments, which means the monies will be split between the two departments. Does that mean it's like contingency fund from them, or I just want to make sure I phrase the motion correctly?
Yes, it'd be contingency money from the two funds.
From water and sewer? Okay. Yeah.
And then also one of the discussions we've had is we all saw recently NAMPA had to bond for, I believe, $130 million to expand their wastewater plant, and things like this being proactive will help us avoid that in the future and avoid us having to, especially like in NAMPA's case, they had no choice but to get that done. So it was, if that bond wouldn't have passed, then it would have went into their user fees. So they had to pay for it one way or the other. But that's one thing. They had to do that very rapidly. So it cost them a lot of money all at once. And we don't want to put our users into that position. So we'd rather do this proactively rather than reactively.
And just to expand on that a little bit, if I can, you'll notice in the sewer budget, there's a line item in there that says sinking fund $100,000, and that's to continue the process of looking forward to repairs that we will need in the coming 5 to 8 years. So instead of coming back in 5 years and saying we need $800,000 or $600,000, knowing that we have two trains out there at the treatment plant, train one is operational now and has plenty of capacity in it, but at some point in time we're going to have to get the second train ready to go. And this is an effort to be ahead of the curve on that instead of, you know, come to you guys right when we need it and go, uh-oh, we need $1 million. So that's what that is about also. It's just an effort to be ahead of the game.
Much appreciated. Anybody else have questions about it before I make a motion?
Further questions? Okay.
I move we approve the expenditure of $51,700 from the contingency funds for water and sewer departments, and also approve resolution R43-2018.
Second. Motion is made and seconded to approve the expenditure of $51,700 and the approval of resolution number R43-2018. And those funds are to come from water and sewer contingencies. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes. And that motion carries.
Can we get a second volunteer if anybody's willing to?
Oh. I'd love to help you, Bob, if you'd let me. The new guy on the block.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next, we have consideration to approve resolution number R44-2018. Bobby Withrow, Parks.
Mayor, Council, sorry. Before I use the resolution, I apologize. I did forget to put a memo with it, so I'll kind of explain it. Last council meeting, I came before you to talk about leasing 2.45 acres off of Strobel Road, so that way we can get some of the cars off of the road that park there to float. At that time, Mr. Anderson had stated he wanted $10,000 for lease, and then we would subtract whatever or the amount that we put into to the land. After speaking with him some more, he brought it down to $2,000. So the lease is just for $2,000 to rent that, and then we can go through, put down some recycled asphalt, put some fencing around it. That way we can get some cars off of the road. It is kind of a hazard, especially on the weekends when everybody's parking along there. I do know some farmers that drive down that road that are afraid they're going to hit some cars and kids. We do have a copy of the lease agreement attached with the resolution, and kind of a picture of where the parking is going to be for phase one and phase two.
Okay. Questions for Bobby?
Can you refresh my memory? Is there an intent to purchase this property at some point in the future?
there is an intent to purchase this in the future. I'm waiting until it becomes closer to city limits, because I don't think we can purchase outside of city limits. Correct, Richard?
We can.
We can, but okay.
And that was this.
Yeah, first right of purchase.
So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I see the first rights to purchase in the lease. I guess the one thing I'm just concerned about is if we spend a bunch of money, like, putting up a fence and that sort of thing, and we just lose that property, it just becomes his if he chooses not to sell it to us or whatever.
So to kind of address that, the first couple of years, he's okay with T-posts and that orange construction fence, which we can take down and use other places. If you can tell, out back, we've used it around the Greenbelt a couple times. So the materials we're going to be using the first couple of years are going to be reusable to us.
Okay. Is that our preference, or would our preference be to use something more permanent and try to negotiate something in the lease that basically says if he doesn't sell it to us, he somehow we get money back for the...
That's kind of my preference, at least this first year.
Okay.
And then going into negotiations for next year, we can look at putting something stiffer in place, something to where we do put like a wrought iron fence or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that would be my, again, not, doesn't sound like it matters for this year, but moving forward, my concern would just be, I'm not saying that like he intends to screw us mm-hmm. or anything, but I just wouldn't want us to spend a bunch of money yeah. putting in an expensive fence and then him going, okay, great, like thanks yeah. for leasing, we'll see you guys later, and yeah, and we have no recourse for recouping costs for that or whatever.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yep.
That was a technical term, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Okay. Anything further on that?
If nothing else, I move we approve resolution R44, 2018.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution number R44-2018. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item E, request from STEM Academy to use Arbor Ridge Park for recess. Bobby Withrow.
Mayor, Council. Last week I got a phone call from the new STEM Academy that's going off of Hubbard Road by Arbor Ridge Park. They wanted to use our facilities for their playground for the first year they're in use. To my knowledge, they're just going to be using portable units, and they're not going to have grass or playground equipment put in. And if they were to do that, they said they'd probably have to rip it out anyway. So after looking at the times that they were going to be at recess, it was only going to take up approximately 3 hours during the day, which most kids are going to be at school. And a lot of parents that take their kids to the park usually go to Bernie Fisher. I'm not saying that there aren't kids there, but usually the parents like to go to Bernie Fisher. So I wasn't opposed to letting them use the park. We have done this in the past with Falcon Ridge Charter School. So it's not the first time we've done it. So.
Questions?
Yes.
Where exactly is the STEM Academy located? Like, how close to Arbor Ridge is it?
Right next to it. So there's Arbor Ridge Park, and yeah. just to the west of that, that open field,
okay.
that 9 acres,
yeah,
that's where it's going.
Do they have are they going to have playground stuff in the future? And
yes.
it's just a matter of, okay.
Yep.
If they
Yeah, they told me a year, so.
Okay. What are the, do you recall off the top of your head what the grade levels were for their first year in operation? I thought it was like high school.
It is K through 12, 3 through, or not K through 12, sorry. K through, I want to say 7th or 8th grade. I don't think there's high school there.
Oh, because I thought the okay. overall
there,
plan
there
was to be like,
there too.
Yeah, I just didn't think they were opening with that entire span the first year. Like, I thought they were
yeah.
taking older kids at the beginning versus younger kids.
The email I got is they're taking younger kids. That's why they needed a spot for recess.
Okay.
We never got to have recess when I was a senior.
No, that's why I was I was wondering, like, do they actually,
It is more for the little kids. I think it stops at 7th and 8th grade. I think recess stops then.
So yeah, and I think for the most part, that you know, a park like that, the, obviously they're going to have recess when school's in session, and so it probably is not too impactful on everybody else. So. Go ahead, Warren.
With as open as this park is, right along Hubbard Road, did the school imply any sort of plan to keep out other parents and other kids or anything? Because it's a wide open park over there. There's nothing around the neighborhood. I mean, there's a fence line, but there's multiple entries. There's. Did they imply anything about that? Or are they going to try to close it down to everyone during those times?
No, I told them it will remain a public park. If they are using it and other kids are there, they're not to push them off. When I talk to them and when we do if we do an MOU, that'll be in there, that it stays a public park. It's not theirs outright, that they're using it from us. Because that was my biggest concern, too.
What are your thoughts on maybe receiving some sort of fee from them just purely because of the porta potty there? Like, I can imagine that kids aren't great planners, and so they might not think, like, hey, I should go before I go to the park. I don't know if we want to, like, set out something concrete ahead of time or wait to see, like, how frequently we're having to empty it. But that would just be one of my concerns, is if that's a specific cost that we can tie directly to them, that wouldn't, it would be fair for them to bear that cost if they're getting to use a public park for recess.
Yeah, I think that's fair to put that in there, yeah.
Do we know how many kids, roughly, the STEM Academy is going to have that first year?
I don't.
I heard it one time, but I don't recall now what it was.
Yeah, I know it's just one grade level. So there's a kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth, and all the way up. So I think they're averaging 20 kids, maybe.
One class per grade level?
Yeah.
That's okay.
So
just thinking if we have 30 kids running around or 300 kids running around.
And the recesses are actually blocked up in 15-minute sections, so not all of the kids go out at once.
Yeah, I guess I'll leave the math to you in terms of figuring out how many kids could even use a porta potty for each recess and all that kind of thing, and figuring out what would be appropriate. But that would just be my one ask, I think, would just be making sure we're not passing on restroom costs.
Well, we might ask them to bring out another porta potty.
Whatever you think would be reasonable.
I think that would be the
I think makes
thing.
Sense. And then they just have to use their own?
Well, I would say they could use both of them, because there'd be two of them there. But they would know that the other one would be open to the public, too.
Okay. Yeah, so they just essentially are paying for the location of one for the entire school year, and whoever uses it is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd make sure it's identical to the one we have out there, so nobody's, like, picking one over the other.
Okay.
Okay.
Or that theirs is more desirable. I mean, that would be my preference.
Well,
Bobby, what does MOU stand for?
MOU? Memorandum of Use.
Okay.
Or understanding.
Understanding, sorry.
You can really answer
it. There would be a contractual hold harmless for the city. Okay.
Okay. Is everybody good with that?
Thank you, Bobby.
We actually need a motion. I think you were just asking for a blessing, right?
Yeah.
And we'll get the contract or whatever that talks about them. Sounds good.
Good. All right. Thank you. Item 8A, consideration to approve ordinance number 2018-26, an ordinance of the City of Cuna, Idaho, annexing a portion of the northwest quarter of Section 1, Township 2, North Range 1, West Boise Meridian, Cuna, Ada County, Idaho, and commonly referred to as Spring Hill Subdivision Number 1, which is owned by DB Development, LLC, into the Cuna Municipal Irrigation District, from the New York Irrigation District, changing the respective boundaries of said districts, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto and are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law, and providing an effective date.
This is the standard thing that we do all the time. I don't know that it needs discussion, so I move we, lost my spot. Move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2018-26.
Brianna, can I ask one quick question?
Yeah, sure.
This isn't just by any means. Sorry, Greg.
No, go ahead.
You're ready. This is something we do all the time, which makes complete sense. I guess from my knowledge, this is just bringing in, annexing a portion of that land to bring them into our water rights.
When we
irrigation, sorry.
Yeah.
Why?
When we bring properties into CUNA, we switch them over to our municipal irrigation district, I think just to make the billing stuff simpler.
Yeah, so when it's a farm, then they pay money to the irrigation district, but in order for us to provide services to them, they have to be in the CUNA City District. So we just annex them into ours, and then if we ever get pressurized, we can't provide pressurized irrigation unless they're in our district. They may not get pressurized irrigation right off the bat, but we always do that so that we have those irrigation water rights.
So it's just from one irrigation district to another?
Yeah.
Motion stands. Unless you have anything else. Okay. Motion stands.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance Number 2018-26. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2018-26.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance Number 2018-26. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Wanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2018-26.
Second.
Motion's made seconded to approve a summary publication of Ordinance Number 2018-26. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries, and upon publication will become law. That is all we had on the agenda for tonight. Is there anything that anybody wanted to talk about as far as announcements? I would like to just mention that Bill has really stepped up and done a great job getting through this budget thing and ciphering through all of John's computer programs, and that's been quite a challenge for him, and I just want him to know that I appreciate how much work he's put into that and staying late.
Thank you.
And working weird hours just like John did. I don't know what's up with that. But we've decided that Bill can sleep when this is all over. So thank you, Bill.
Yes, thank you.
And Lisa's been getting out there, and I have been complimented many times on the fact that she's here. So she's making us proud already, and look forward to having her here and getting this economic development thing going better. So, and the rest of the staff is awesome as always, and appreciate everything you guys all do. Anything else anybody wanted to talk about tonight? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.